To have the opportunity to pause and practice presence and to feel the goodness of our individual presence and the nourishment of collective presence. It's this cycle of giving and receiving that I know is deeply strengthening to my practice, and I such deep bows and acknowledgement to each of you. I know that you each have your own practice, and so many of you have been here for the duration. You know, we're now coming up on a year and a half of gathering in this way, and last week we had, hi Ellen, we took some time to explore how to nourish ourselves, perhaps in the face of various expressions of resiliency fatigue. How do we keep showing up for ourselves, for our loved ones, for our world? And so today I'd like to build on that a little bit and to look at how we deepen into presence. So through a practice that supports us in grounding. So our practice last week offered some grounding, and there's different avenues into being here. And that was our practice last week. Here. Oh. Here. Oh, and here. You know, that gentle calling back of the puppy mind. And so today, I thought we could drop into a practice that supports us in connecting with what's here. So when we arrive here, how might we connect with and lovingly attend to what's here? And then a short exploration or talk around that theme and some of what perhaps gets in the way of being here. So let's see where we go together, but beginning by nesting in. Gifting yourself a gentle arrival. Maybe drinking in a few slightly deeper breaths. Maybe even a few audible exhalations. Letting the breath be one of the pathways that supports you in beginning to land here. And taking some care with the body. You know, sometimes we just go on autopilot even in our practice. We shut our eyes and we freeze into the meditative posture. And I would invite you to perhaps explore a slow settling into the body. Perhaps feeling the solidity, the support offered through the points of contact between your body and the floor, your body and the cushion or the chair. Can you let yourself be received, held, by the loving embrace of gravity, by the stability of the earth? From this place of rootedness, bringing a few moments' attention to the alignment of the body, and particularly the back body. There's a structural strength and stability in the spine. And so perhaps just allowing some micro movement. Maybe a slight rocking forward or back, a little shifting side to side to find that place of easeful alignment to whatever degree that's accessible in your body today. Feeling the length and the strength of your spine. Even in bodies that have experienced some degree of injury or the effects of aging on the spine, there still remains quality of strength and stability. And as you lengthen, even just lengthening with your awareness, maybe not with the physical body, but letting your awareness lengthen through the spine, lifting the crown of the head toward the sky. Feeling the gift of spaciousness that surrounds you. And as you land in the body more fully, perhaps a few more slightly deeper breaths. And with each exhalation, inviting the body to soften and settle, and to release and relax into this moment. To whatever degree is possible, shedding any unnecessary efforting, letting the muscles hang on the strength of the spine, like you might hang a coat on a hanger in your closet. So you're letting your skeleton do the work. And just resting here for a few minutes, with a felt sense of the body or a felt sense of the breath. Savoring this gift of pausing in your day to simply be here, together. having taken the care to arrive, to sit, to settle, you might take this opportunity to lovingly look at what's here, taking a few moments to notice, how is this precious body that's sitting here? Perhaps in your own time, your own way, gently sweeping the warm sunbeam of your awareness through the body and just noticing places of ease and openness. Places in the body that might be tight or tender. Or tired. Not needing to fix or change or figure out anything that's here in the body in this moment, but simply offering the care, the kindness of noticing, oh, the body's like this, just like this. You might bring that same kind, curious awareness to noticing the quality of the mind. In this moment, as if you could step up to the riverbank of the thought stream just observing the energy of the mind, rather than the specific content. There might be images or plans or memories, stories flowing through, and you might see if you can tune into the quality of the mind that's giving rise to this activity, the mind agitated or calm. Distracted or focused. Cloudy or clear. And again, there's nothing to fix or change or figure out here. No need to fight the thought stream, try to dam it up or divert it. Just seeing what it's like to simply acknowledge, oh, the mind's like this. Just like this. And then turning the warm spotlight of your awareness toward the heart center, the emotional landscape, and noticing any distinct emotions that might be in the field. Fear, anger, sadness, joy. Delight. Or there might be a more diffuse or pervasive mood, a feeling tone. Worry, boredom, peace or calm. Here too, nothing to fix or change or figure out. Rather, a warm acknowledgement that the heart's like this in this moment. Just like this. And holding the full field of your experience in the warm embrace of your awareness. You might keep this field wide for the next few moments, just opening to what's here. Or you might again choose to rest back into a felt sense of the body, or the breath. As we come to the final minutes of our practice, feeling the fullness of being here, just as you are, body, mind, and heart. And perhaps considering how this capacity for offering hospitality to experience, to life, just as it is in this moment, might be a gift that you can carry with you out into your day, out into the world, to perhaps be an inspiration or an example to others in how they might offer hospitality to their own experience. And also to be a direct offering of hospitality to the wider experience of life, contributing to a world that's more welcoming, warm-hearted, spacious, and safe for all beings. May all beings know the peace, the ease, and the freedom that comes with deep presence. May it be so. I thought I'd share just a few reflections on this theme of cultivating resilience and as much ease and stable presence is possible in the face of what often seems like endless uncertainty, doesn't it? Yeah, I see the nods. I feel it. I'm right here with you. Yeah, we're all in this swirl. And it can be deeply ungrounding. And one of the things that often ungrounds us is worry and anxiety and fear, which are all flavors of emotions that are outgrowths of our survival wiring. They all have slightly different manifestations and perhaps even functions. Fear is a very adaptive response to perceived threat. It's part of our wiring that keeps us safe. Anxiety is all too familiar, I think, to many, if not most of us, especially in these times. I was reading an article this week, and I think they said that in 2010, about 8% of the population in the U.S. reported anxiety, and in 2020, that was approaching 30%. So it's multiplying, I think. And anxiety is often not quite as adaptive. Anxiety often starts to take on a quality of continuity. You know, fear often arises in response to something, and then when that threat departs, it settles. But many people are finding in their nervous system that we're sort of activated, and then this anxiety pervades and persists in our system. And worry is often the response to anxiety. And I'm sort of teasing these apart because I think sometimes in common usage, we use fear, anxiety, and worry like they're the same thing. And I think if we start to look at their different flavors and expressions, it opens some gateways for self-care that can help us tend our nervous systems in these difficult times. So worry is often this response to the pervasive quality of anxiety, this low-level hypervigilance, or sometimes high-level hypervigilance of what next, what's going on, what could go wrong, what if, what if, what if. And we also see here coming in with those examples of what if, the role that thinking plays in fueling. It's like the gasoline on the fire of anxiety, the stories, the worry, and that's the worry. The worry is often the mental chatter, or the stickiness that grabs onto the all too available information that's out there. You know, we open up our favorite newspaper or online media source and the headlines, you know, and whew, it's like super glue or a magnet. We pull in all of this information that we can worry about. And I was reading an article from Judson Brewer, who's a physician, and he may also be a psychologist. He's like an MD, PhD, one of those people that got too many degrees, in my opinion. That's a lot of years of school. And really bright, really has done some fabulous research on habit formation. And one of the things I appreciate in his work is a reframing or another way of looking at anxiety as a habit. Because we often respond to anxiety in others or ourselves with this attitude like, just stop it. Just stop. Just stop worrying. And how effective has that been for you? I know it doesn't really do much to settle this anxious leaning mind. So it can feel very discouraging and disempowering. And this is where our mindfulness practice can be such a resource. This is where psychology and meditation can really support one another in very practical and applicable ways. If we think about anxiety as a habit, we are what we practice, right? This is what meditation teaches us. And many of us practice anxiety. And in these uncertain times, we are practicing in an accelerated way, really. And so if we think about how habits form, you know, there's a stimulus, there's a response, and there's a reward. And, you know, it's like you're hungry, you eat, you feel satiated. Yeah. So it's, we're wired this way. And it may not seem immediately applicable, but anxiety can work in a similar way. So we have a stimulus, something that's, you know, threatening. Oh my gosh, the world's on fire, or the world's flooding, or there's political instability, or the COVID virus. There's a potential threat, right? A stimulus. And most of those things, right, we can't do anything about on the grand scale. I can't stop the fires in California. I can't stop the COVID virus. And so our nervous system likes to take action. Yeah. So the action that we can take in response is we can worry. And it has this element of like we're doing something. It's not effective. It's not effective in that it doesn't transform the situation. But we worry, and the reward is a felt sense of control. And the unfortunate thing is that what it actually results in is more anxiety, which results in more worry, and so there's this cycling that it doesn't really gift us what we're seeking, which is more settledness, freedom from fear, peace. When that runaway thinking is happening, one of the ways that thinking, you know, that fuels the activation of anxiety in the body and the emotions that can come with it, sometimes a sense of hopelessness or helplessness or insecurity, rather than beating ourselves up and just saying, stop worrying. You know, good luck with that. I wish you well. After decades of trying that, I know it really does not work. We can draw strength and solace and support from our mindfulness practice. So that practice we just engaged in of landing in the moment, finding some anchoring in the body, and a checking in with what's here. Oh, how is this body doing? How is this mind doing? How is the heart doing? We might see the expressions or the experience of anxiety in that. You know, the heart racing or the tension in the muscles or the thought stream, and there's, you know, the tin cans and the old cars and the stuff floating by, the junk in the mind. We might feel the agitation or the despair or the emotions. And when we see those things there, we can bring our practice to it. We can investigate. We can be curious. We can notice the experience. And paradoxically, that often can settle anxiety. Curiosity is another habit. Curiosity has its own sense of reward. So if we notice a threat, or if we notice the experience of anxiety, if we meet it with curiosity, that can actually often satiate something. And it doesn't fuel more anxiety. It may not make all the anxiety go away, but it doesn't feed the anxiety. So our practice offers a different pathway. And I think we might unpack this in more detail next week, again, building on this, but I want to offer this as just a starting place and to gift you all, if you're interested, and a chance to spend a few minutes in smaller breakout rooms with each other. It's always optional. Those of you who are newer or haven't been here for a while. And you might just share, something on this theme if it speaks to you. The experience with anxiety, or the perspective of anxiety as a habit, and a habit that we might be able to shift to a different habit of curiosity. And, you could share celebrations or challenges. So I'll offer a couple of breakout rooms and just maybe about six minutes, and we'll have... You'll have that one bonus minute when the rooms close, and we'll come back for a final poem together. Welcome back. Welcome back, friends. I'll just see just briefly if there's anything that wants to be spoken about what you shared before we close with a short poem. So, I thought I would just share a poem entitled Thinking by Danusha Lamaris. Don't you wish they would stop? All the thoughts swirling around in your head, bees in a hive, dancers tapping their way across the stage. I should rake the leaves in the carport, buy Christmas lights. Was there really life on Mars? What will I cook for dinner? I walk up the driveway, put out the garbage bins. I should stop using plastic bags. Visit my friend whose husband just left her for the Swedish nanny. I wish I hadn't said Patrick's painting looked ominous. Maybe that's why he hasn't called. Does the car need oil again? There's a hole in the ozone the size of Texas, and everything seems to be speeding up. Come, let's stand by the window and look out at the light on the field. Let's watch how the clouds cover the sun and almost nothing stirs in the grass. Yeah, so this week, you know, if you find yourself revving up into the habit of anxiety, you might just notice what the thought stream is doing. You know, not because it needs to be fought or fixed or changed, but to really see it and to see the impact that it's having in the body or in the heart, the emotional realm, and to find a way to pause in presence, you know, and it might not be, oh, I'm going to run to my cushion and sit down, but really to pause where you are and take in the light or the felt sense of the sun on your skin or the water washing over your hands as you're doing the dishes, and bring curiosity to the moment and bring curiosity even to the distress or the anxiety and just see what happens. And I think we'll play with this theme in some different ways for at least next week and maybe longer. You know, it's another angle on how do we work with uncertainty and impermanence. So many, many blessings on the rest of your day and your week. Such a joy to be with you, and I'll look forward to seeing you hopefully next week or again soon. Take good care.